Hebrews. It says, encourage one another, even while it's still called today. Go to a young person that you see doing good. What you're doing is absolutely fabulous. Thank you for singing. Thank you for practicing that song. You blessed all of us. God has his hand on you, young lady, young man. And you know, when that young person walks away, that young person can go 6 months on the encouragement you just gave to them. Do you understand? And when we emphasize that in the church, do you know how strong this next generation will be?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message where we learned that throughout the Old Testament, God worked through prophets, priests, and kings. Well, today, we'll jump to the New Testament and see how all three of these were embodied in the person of Jesus Christ to fulfill God's purposes here on earth. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Prophets, Priests, and Kings.
Now you have the New Testament. When Jesus comes on to the scene, he is a prophet, priest, and king because he's called the Anointed One, the Messiah. Now when Jesus ascends into heaven, almost like golden residue, he leaves these gifts to mankind, to you and me, but he distributes them so that we have to work together to make a whole. No one person has them all. He just kind of separated them out. The Bible says it this way. He distributes it as he wills. So he distributes this to this person, this gift here. You're a king, you're a prophet, you're a priest. And we're going to talk about that. But let's read the scripture together out of 1 Corinthians 12. Let's read it. Go. But the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Different gifts, different passions, different callings. And we need each other to make the whole, the complete. And without them, it'll be like that piano that's split up. And until we come together and partner, the song of the Lord, which is to be on his people, is no longer to be heard. And that's why the church would start to shrink and go into evaporation mode. Why? Because we don't partner together anymore. We've got to partner together. It's like Legos. You take a Lego, you'll see a protruding part, which is like its strength, and then you'll have a concave part that's like a weakness. But that Lego's weakness fits with another Lego's strength, and they build a building. And another person's strength, Lego's strength, is partnered with another's non-strength. But together, they could build a massive wall. And just how God designed us. So never think that, oh, I'm weak. And then you concentrate on that concave part of you. You concentrate on your weakness. No, because we need someone else. And as I partner with people like you that have gifts, my gifts will help someone else's weakness. But my weakness will be buoyed by your strength. And when we work together, that's where the Bible says in the book of Peter, the church are made up of living stones. Isn't that cool? Building up the church of the living God. And so God distributes these throughout the church. So what is the prophet, priests, and kings in the New Testament? Well, when he ascended into heaven, he puts these gifts out. And they're still prophets, priests, and kings. And basically, a prophet is someone who speaks to people on behalf of God. But it's a little different, not in a demeaning way, not in a judgmental way. Romans 8 says, now, because of the cross and the redemption that Jesus paid for our sins, there's no judgment. There's no judges among us. James says this, who are you to judge your brothers? For there is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. So who are you to judge your brothers? So again and again, he says, this part of the prophet is not for you. It's already been judged on the cross. He's the judge. So what do prophets do in the New Testament? Here it is, that prophets confirm the word of God to his people. Confirm, reinforce, resonate the direction of God, the ways of God to encourage people. In fact, let's read what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Would you read it with me? Go. The one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you He says, although I want you to move in the gifts, the spiritual gifts, you know what I'd like every one of you to do? Prophesy. Why? I'll tell you why. Let's read what 1 Corinthians 14 says about prophecy. Would you read it? Go. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and... Yeah, so if you're going to confirm the word of God as a prophet, we are going around strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Paul says, I would that all of you be prophets, because that's what edifies the church. And how many of you know the church needs edifying? And the word to edify is where we get the word edifice from, building up, stronger, making it a fortress. Well, where's it going to come from? Prophets who go around encouraging, strengthening, comfort, edifying, to build up, because that's what we need. Bible says it in this way, in Hebrews, it says, encourage one another, even while it's still called today, lest any one of you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So one of the things we as prophets, or those of us should be all of us prophets, is that we go around and confirm God's word. Go to a young person that you see doing good. What you're doing is absolutely fabulous. Thank you for singing. Thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for practicing that song. You blessed all of us. God has his hand on you, young lady, young man. And you know, when that young person walks away, that young person can go 6 months on the encouragement you just gave to them. Do you understand? And when we emphasize that in the church, do you know how strong this next generation will be? But most of the time, we listen to them, go, yeah, that's nice. We go home, like, no, 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 be a prophet. Speak prophetically to them. This is your chance. God just gave you a moment that you can leverage off of. Go for it. Confirm the word of God to them. What is God saying? I'm going to ask you a question. Would you all raise your hand when I ask the question? Here it is. Would you all be prophets with me? Yes. Yeah. Do you understand what we would be like in 5 years if we followed that? And that's a New Testament prophetic voices. The priest, on the other hand, is someone who speaks to God on behalf of people. That's what shepherds do in churches, that they're, as it were, lobbying for the people. Moses was like that. Lord, don't lay this sin against them. If you want to mess anybody up, mess me up. And he would fall on his face when the people complained and sinned. He was someone who was always interceding for the people. And Jesus acted in that mantle of a priest when he said from the cross, when they were crucifying him, what did he say? Father, what? Forgive them. They know not what they do. He was the high priest at that point. And so, too, it is where through teaching, we draw people nearer to God. That's just the mantle of a priest. In the Old Testament, if a king wanted to go to war, but he wasn't sure if he should, he would call a priest. And he'd say, pray and ask God, should we go or shouldn't we not go? And the priest would pray and he'd say, yep, you're to go or you're not to go. Gave kings direction. Prophets, priests, kings. Kings are those who advance the government of God. They resource that advance. God has given them influence in the civil life. They could be owners of businesses. They could be people of great influence. But they influence the civil life, and they take the government of God and work it into that community so that people will begin to see. Because they've got repute. They've got reputation. They may be well-known as a business owner, a company owner, and people need to hear what they have to say because for some reason they have stewardship over a grand amount, of whether it's product or funds, or they have influence and mantle. And so God is saying there are modern-day kings. It's not like a monarchy or something over in Europe, but these are modern-day kings that God gives influence to. It's a role that they've been given in the marketplace, stewardship over larger sums of money. They're known in the community. They're successful in what they're doing. Oh, just like Solomon, it can get unbalanced where we think we're the ones that create all of this wealth. But God reminds us, as he did in Deuteronomy 8. In fact, let's read it, because any king can easily erode into what happened to Solomon. Let's read what it says here in Deuteronomy 8:18. Go. You may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hands made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is till this. Yeah, in other words, God is going to give certain men and women a grander mantle in areas of finances or production or manufacturing. They will have stewardship over much more. But there's a reason for that, that God chose that person, and He will even give them the power to create wealth, to be entrepreneurial, to be an inventor, to be someone that understands the business world of finances, and then God blesses them. But it's to fulfill His covenant to the fathers. In fact, kings and priests and prophets work together. And He gives them that kind of stewardship over much. Let me say it this way. Let's say you're at home, and a big semi-truck backs up to your driveway, and that back door slides open, and it's full of cheese. Colby cheese, cheddar cheese, Swiss cheese, all kinds of cheese. And you go, whoa, who sent it? The guy goes, I don't know. I'm just a delivery person. And they just start offloading pallets of cheese. And you say, man, I love cheese. I love cheddar cheese. I love Colby cheese. Oh, man, do you have smoked cheese in there? Oh, we got all kinds of cheese in here. Oh, man, this is great. So you put cheese in your cupboards, cheese in your bathtub, cheese in your attic, cheese in your garage. You got cheese everywhere. Cheese whiz. And you have cheese for breakfast, cheese for lunch, cheese for dinner. Then the next day, they bring another semi. They open it up. Cheese! Whoa! Cheese! I love cheese! And they just start offloading it. What do I do with this? We don't know, sir. We're just delivery boys here. And man, you start putting cheese on your roof, in your basement, around your house. Pretty soon, you're just sick and tired of cheese. And then you say, God, why are you giving me so much cheese? I don't need this much cheese. I have enough cheese. If there's silence, it's like God is saying, duh. What do you think? Is it just for you? Or have I given you an assignment that through you, you'll be able to help many who are desperately in need out there to fulfill my government and my purposes? You are a king in my books. And when we begin to realize that, oh, now I'm starting to get it. And when the prophet, priests, and kings start to work together, there's no recourse that hell would have against us. Nothing can stop the church, even the gates of hell. And we begin to realize that the master designer is putting us back together, tightening our strings and saying, now the song of the Lord can resound in your community, but not until. You'll have all the pieces, but until you partner together, it doesn't play the music. That's why we find in the New Testament, in Timothy, he says this, it's 1 Timothy 6, and let's read it together over here. 1 Timothy 6, go. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us. Where did that cheese come from? God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Let me tell you about David. David was king at this time, and he wanted to build a temple for God, beautiful temple. He wanted to build one that just would be majestic and glorifying and beautiful. And his desire was legitimate and noble, but God had other plans. He said, sorry, David, your son is going to build that temple. What? Yeah, I want him to build it. Now, David could have pouted, said, I'm going to take my bat and ball and go home then. Why should I try to build something that I don't even have a part of? It doesn't benefit me. Instead, he said, no, that's good enough for me, God, because this building won't belong to me. It'll belong to you. And so he gives towards this temple. Now, I want you to know the Bible says in Chronicles that he gave gold and silver and bronze and wood for this temple in huge amounts. And I looked up today's currency, how much it would have been worth in today's currency. How much did he give? I looked it up and calculated it all. David gave just over $20 billion. Now, he probably was like a Zuckerberg or somebody that had $100 billion, but nevertheless, $20 billion, listen carefully, he gave $20 billion to a building he would never enter. He gave and gave to a building he would never see. And I thought, wow. Really? Yeah, because David knew that he didn't own it. It wasn't for him. God had made him a king for the plan of God that would far surpass his lifetime. And he was a part of that. And much of his heart was summed up in this next verse. And if you would read it with me about his son Solomon or about the next generation, would you read it? Go. My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great, for the temple is not for man, but for... Yeah, and if you can think of temple as the whole church of God, the edifice of God, the plan of God, I look at these young people here and I say the same thing. They are inexperienced, they're young. And the work that we have before us for the next 5 or 10 years is too great for them. But we can be a part of that. And there's kings that God has placed, modern day kings, men and women that understand that God has given them a special talent or a gift or an ability. But it's really not just for more cheese. It's because of a role that God has afforded to us. And if the prophet, priests, and kings begin to work together in harmony, it could be another golden age of the church of the living God right here in our community. And so God is putting us back together. I wonder sometimes why God in our midst, are there so many promising young people with boatloads of potential? It's like those are the Solomons. And I get to teach them to work with the prophets and the priests and the kings because we got to do this together. And if you begin to deny or deprecate or ignore the other two, then we will fail just like we've done in the past. We've got to learn from history, and especially the history that we find in the Word of God. Let me bring it all together. And you know, as I look back over the ministry of New Hope, it really has been because of certain kinds of people. You know, I often work as a kind of priest or a prophet, but at the same time, I might not have funds. And I remember some years ago, when I was going to Hawaii, I felt the Lord say, I want you to reach, not Hawaii, but from Hawaii, reach the South Pacific. And I thought, you know, Lord, I've got the vision, I've got the calling, but I ain't got the bucks. It was just then before I left that I sat with a modern day king. He owned some gas stations. His name was Alan Maxwell. He's since passed away. But we sat together and he said, Wayne, I was praying for you and the Lord had me give you this. And he slid an envelope across the table. And it was some stocks that he had purchased. He said, this, God said to give to you. And we had no money. And when we went to Hawaii, all we had was the church could pay our rent. We had 22 people that started a little church and they said, we'll try to get your rent paid. And so that was it. Well, I took those stocks and cashed it in and it was $40,000. And so that kept Anna and me for the first year or two so that we could raise a family and continue to pioneer. And I look back now, 153 churches, and I think it was because of the king that went forward. The whole New Hope movement was because of a king, a modern day king. And then I had written a book called Doing Church as a Team, and I did a life journal developed to help people learn to study the Word of God. And I was at a friend's house. We were having a leadership conference I was speaking at, and he said, "You need to publish these." I said, "I can't. It costs." He said, "How much?" I said, "I have no idea." He said, "You send me the bill. I'll take care of it." And the life journals today and the books that we have started because a king whose name is Bob Buford. He owned some television stations in Texas and gave the funds to start that. And I look back on it now and I thought, it's because of a modern day king. Our school was about to shut down. Attorneys had already been called to start to dissolve the college, and this place was going to be torn down and sold. And one of the modern day kings in this city that I've known for many years said, "No, we'll help you." And the reason it's like it today is because of a king. And then we started a little church upstairs in the chapel. Some of you were with us back then. We had about 40, 50 people. And then we started to grow and we needed a bigger place. And another king and his wife said, "We'll help you." And those stairs were purchased, paid for by another king. And we are where we are today because of the partnership of a prophet, priest, and king. Do you understand? And it'll go on and on and on and on. So many of us, we have roles to play. Let's play them and watch what God can do. In closing, how many of you have heard Words of New Hope on radio or TV? Would you raise a hand? Yeah. That's because of the generosity of God's people. And you'll hear us say, Jesus is our passion. Gospel is our purpose. Generosity is our privilege, and the Bible is our proof. That means a lot, because the Words of New Hope is only because of the generosity of people. We had the stuff, we had the messages, but we didn't have enough to even put it on a radio station when people began to give. They said, "We can't do the preaching or we can't do the teaching, but we can do this part." It's a priest, prophet, kings. Put it together and it started to go out. In fact, just last week or week before, one of the dads here said, "You know, my son used to go to work up north and every morning he would turn on that station or a tape and listen to one of your messages. And in one of the messages, he said, my son got a calling to the ministry. He knew that God had called him. Today, he pastors here in Oregon, just south of us." I thought, wow, we're building a building we may never see, but God's using it all over the place. But I'll finish with this. This is the funnest story. The radio manager from Albany, we have our program on an Albany station. He called me and he said, "Wayne, you got to hear this story." I said, "Well, tell me about it." He said, "Well, there was a guy that is a Christian guy is listening to our radio station and he's going to be told this later." So he's recounting it to me. He stopped at a 7-Eleven and for some reason left his keys in his car, just ran in to get a whatever. And some guy jumps in his car and steals his car. I said, "You're calling me to tell me this?" He said, no, the story's not done yet. For some reason, the guy takes off with the car and the radio station is on our station and you were speaking. And for some reason, he doesn't change the station. Now, this is a thief driving, listening to Christian radio. Makes no sense. And then he said this, "You must have been telling a joke because he kept listening." So I said, "Good for jokes. All right." And he said, as he went on, you began to do the message. And it started to convict him so much that he had stolen a car. He pulled the car over, took out his cell phone, called me, the manager said. And the guy said, "I just want you to know that I shouldn't be doing this. So the car is parked at 7th and something in Albany, and I can't tell you my name, but there it is. God bless you. Goodbye." Click. And he... And I thought, isn't that interesting how the kingdom of God, the song of the Lord, continues to resonate when prophet, priests, and kings work together? Which one are you? We would that all be prophets. Some may be teachers and priests. Some may be kings. But in this next year, let's work together, because I think God has something very special in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. You watch. You wait. You'll see. Amen. Let's stand together.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Prophets, Priests, and Kings by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Hebrews, it says, encourage one another even while it's still called today. Go to a young person that you see doing good. What you're doing is absolutely fabulous. Thank you for singing. Thank you for practicing that song. You blessed all of us. God has his hand on you, young lady, young man. And you know, when that young person walks away, that young person can go 6 months on the encouragement you just gave to them. Do you understand? And when we emphasize that in the church, do you know how strong this next generation will be?
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.